welcome to W Rated, the show where we willingly watch the world's worst rated movies. Today, you've joined us on this year's Road to Razzies, our annual season of episodes looking at the nominations for the controversial Golden Raspberry Awards 2024. For new listeners, I'm Daisy, and as always, I'm joined by podcast co-creator, host and editor Claire. Claire, would you like to tell us which film we're talking about this episode?
Today we are talking about Meg 2, The Trench, which is nominated for three awards, which are Worst Picture, Worst Actor for Jason Statham, and Worst Director for Ben Wheatley. I've never seen The Meg. I did not watch The Meg ahead of this. I've actually only seen probably about four shark films. Not a shark girly. I have a healthy respect for the ocean, you know.
I remember this because I was just about to say one of them would have been The Requiem from last year.
Yeah, where I discussed how time flies. I feel like they just always want to nom a shark film. I've not held my distaste.
They do have a shark films have a reputation that precedes them, I feel.
They do. I've not held my distaste for Jason Statham. Really apologies if he's a nice human, because he actually might be, like, a really nice guy.
Maybe.
He also might be a piece of shit, I don't know. I just don't like his film choices. He just makes films that I don't have any interest in.
Well, we've said before, you're not a huge action fan, and he is, like...
Mr. Action.
He is action man. So yes, what are you going to do?
Yeah, and then Ben Wheatley. I don't actually know much about Ben Wheatley. I don't know.
Ben Wheatley. When I found out this was directed by Ben Wheatley, I thought this was a debussing film tweet.
Ben Wheatley's face on his Wikipedia page is not what I anticipated.
I'd met him.
He kind of looks like a capybara.
What?
In this picture...
No, that's Glenn Powell.
In this picture, he looks like a capybara. Glenn Powell also does look like a capybara.
Is this on IMDb?
Wikipedia.
Oh. My laptop's so slow, I can't open it. So you don't know... I have mentioned Ben Wheatley on the podcast before, because I recommended one of his films, Kill List.
Ah. I know his name. I know he's not, but I've literally never seen anything he's done before this.
No, he was basically a indie darling in like the early 2010s. Kill List, he did High Rise, which had Tom Hiddleston in, which I never saw. And then he did Free Fire, and I think that's where people, like, kind of unsubscribed. I don't think it's what... But the thing is, I think it's because that was his big studio debut. I think High Rise was still relatively independent in nature, if not actual production. He did another one called A Field in England, which was very experimental, and I think maybe Free Fire might have just gone a bit too run-of-the-mill, a bit too commercial. And then I don't know if he's done much since between then and now. Oh, he did Rebecca. I didn't realise that.
I know his name, and I've heard of every single one of these films listed I've heard of. I've just never actually watched or had any experience with myself.
Yeah, I've not heard of In the Earth.
That was a horror film a couple years ago.
I've heard of Happy New Year, Colin Bursted, but it was, he was, like, huge trajectory. Yeah. And Sightseers. Sightseers is meant to be amazing.
I think In the Earth was a bit controversial because it was, like, a horror. I think it was one that people either loved or were like, that was nonsense.
Mm. Right. So I think he's just kind of, like, dropped off of people's radar now. He was, like... heralded as this big, and I don't know if it was just in Britain because he's British, maybe. He kind of just fell off of the radar after Free Fire. I thought it was not like that was older actually. Free Fire, I didn't realize that was 2016. So, yeah, I mean, even so, looking at his releases since then, Meg 2 would never have been on my bingo card.
No, it's not quite where
to be honest.
Where you go.
No, it's very, very interesting choice.
What's your knowledge of the Megs?
I watched the Meg again last year to see it in cinema, and then never got around to it. So it was on my list to get to, and I was like, oh great, it's for Razzie, so I'll just tick that off. I quite liked the first one. I think, again, it suffers with the same sort of thing of like cliche kind of unsurprising stuff happening, but it's also a shark movie, so it's like you kind of, I'm kind of bought into like not a huge level of like well-written stuff. I wanted to have fun, and I quite like Jason Statham. I think he's got a little bit of a like he could, I think he is a modern classic. He's the modern version of a classic movie. I think he's got that movie star bravado.
I liked that he appeared to be a good dad. He was going for the dad card, and I was like, okay, I'll allow it.
So in the first one, obviously, spoiler territory as always, he used to be a deep sea diver. And then he's a bit of a maverick, he's a bit of a renegade.
Because I was very confused. I was like, is he an eco-terrorist? Like,
well, so that doesn't really come from the first film, but it makes sense. So he gets brought in to do a deep dive because they're like discovered that they can go down the Mariana Trench. And I think the team he originally works with, some of them were a bit like they can't work well together because something happened in the past, but it's very by the numbers. He comes in and there's like, I do think it's a potentially a Chinese American co-production.
Well, the second one very much felt like that as well. It really felt like they were going heavy in for the Chinese or the Asian audience. And obviously,
to be honest, if you're going to try and appeal, that's probably the way to do it. Like bring worlds together. Don't try and sanitize down.
Yeah, and also creature features are so huge in that culture that it makes sense. Like, they do creature features so differently in a good way.
Yeah, so there was, I think the company was owned by a Chinese family, including a woman. And I feel like it might have been Fan Bing Bing.
Oh, that makes sense.
I think so. I'm sure I looked it up again since. And she had a little girl. And basically, they go down and they discover a megalodon, which is a... I was about to say dinosauric. It is a historic, like, dinosaur level. I don't know if it's Jurassic. I don't know what period. What am I trying to say? Prehistoric is what I'm trying to say. Huge old shark. And it's cool. It is cool. There's a lot of, you know, you feel the scale of it. It's not bad CGI. There's some good stakes. But I can't really remember too much from the first one to sort of report back on, except the mother does die. I can't remember if that's... But I can't... No, wait. Does she die in the film, or is that just a right away at the beginning of this one?
I got the impression that she'd been eaten by a shark. That was the impression I got. I got the impression that she was eaten.
I really can't remember because they are very similar. The first one isn't too memorable. It's just a bit of a fun time. And I think Jason Statham is Jason Statham in it. And it, what if you like, it's the same thing, right? We were talking about in a previous episode about Phoebe Waller-Bridge. If you like his shtick and you're bought in, you have a good time. If you don't like it, it's just going to bring the whole film down.
Down, yeah.
I'm just trying to see quickly if I can look up the Wikipedia. Oh, I tell you who... Oh, no, I think I'm getting them mixed up. Winston Chow, is it... Oh, Li Bingbing.
Li Bingbing, not Fan Bingbing.
Not Fan Bingbing. So it is a mixed Chinese-American cast, but I don't... Yes, so Rainn Wilson is in it. He's pretty good. He plays a bit of a billionaire... Dum Dum, who owns the station, and then Winston Chow is kind of like the scientist. He like runs the station. So it's an interesting group of characters with different reasons for being there, different motivations around the Meg and things like that. But basically,
I just said she doesn't die in the first one. They go on vacation together.
Right, so it's all around a rescue mission on the floor of the Pacific Ocean, and they discover... So they're down there and they discover it, and then they have to get out. It's a very straightforward plot. Whereas we come to Meg 2, she's killed off screen. He is now the guardian of the daughter. And I do like that relationship. And now they've got like loads more set up, scientific set up to study the things in the Mariana Trench. I think that's a nice sort of background to move on to not completely rehash the first one. There is development with their world. The world feels lived in because like, okay, now he's, you know, he's a bit of a changed man where he likes people, but he's also now using his gruff, but like, caring exterior to go and like fight the good fight in his own way. I think that's like a nice character jump. So now they actually have Megs that they, or one Meg that they have in captivity.
That he's training.
And they're continuing, that he's training and they're continuing to explore the Mariana Trench. I think that's a nice backdrop to kind of, it feels like it's a flow of the original story. And whilst the script is pretty run of the mill, I think it did fine.
Oh, fair enough. It's actually not nominated for script. I didn't really enjoy it, but I didn't think there was anything appalling about it. I was like, this film isn't made for me. Like, it was my thing. Yeah. I was like, I don't enjoy this, and I don't think I was the intended audience. So that's kind fine. Of okay. I did find the direction quite messy. I felt like the use, like there were constantly people dying and I was like, who died? How did they die? Mm. Like, oh, they're gone. Are they alive? Are they not alive? It felt kind of clunky to me, and giving the amount of characters and the amount, there was actually only three locations, but there were quite a lot of characters and I was always a bit like, what's going on?
There's a lot of characters, yeah.
And I just don't think he had the best handle on them.
It's just weird because he, as a director, his stuff before has been extremely visual, extremely idiosyncratic, and like, so I don't know whether it was just a case of this wasn't the right film to do that, whether he was a little bit of a gun for hire in this instance. We don't know, but it's just, yeah, I mean, kind of was a bit... DTV inspired in some bits, like especially on the what's like, it's like the oil rig kind of thing, I can't remember the thing at the station in the ocean, the B crew. It yeah. kind of felt like there was actually, you could see a budget difference. When we're with the main cast under the water and in the station and all of that, it does kind of feel like it's a slightly different film.
That was it for me. And then they leave the ocean for the big final set piece, and that again felt like I was watching a completely different film again.
It's almost as if it's like you could have made a really cool decision to, once they're down there, don't show above the water again, and it would have made it feel so much more claustrophobic and the stakes would have been raised and you would have been more confused because you wouldn't know what was going on. Would have felt like you're telling the story from the crew a lot more. And you're right, there is someone dying every minute or so, and it doesn't really feel like there's any stakes because I remember myself sitting there going, well, that's a character that we don't really know, so I know that they're going to pick them off and they're not going to pick the main people off.
Yeah, that was a bit confusing for me because obviously I have not seen it, like seen the original. So I was like, I don't know who are the important guys and who are the new guys.
I don't, but you, I imagine once the people started dying, you were like, well, clearly that wasn't one.
Well, I pretty much was just like, oh, these are all stock characters. Like, I could be watching a spin-off of Fast and Furious here and I wouldn't know the difference. Like, some of the dialogue and some of the characters felt identical to that of Fast and Furious to me.
Yeah.
I was just like, I feel like the only people who aren't going to die are Jason Statham and his kid. I think anyone else is disposable.
Yeah, I'm trying to just like summarize how I feel about this film. I feel like this is the standard of we should have for so bad it's good level. Like, I feel like this is enough where you're like, this is serviceable. I like it because it's a bit schlocky, I'm having a good time, versus some of the stuff we've spoken about in previous episodes about, like, they're just absolute sanitized versions of things where they just don't have any personality. I think that's worse than something like this, which is just not great.
I really didn't enjoy this, but I really didn't enjoy it. I gave it 1.5 stars.
Did Okay. I mean, the thing is, it's action tax from Claire, you know?
I mean, my review is Fast and Furious at Sea. And I think there was a point where, like, there was a certain point where one of, like, side characters... I think I didn't know who any of them were. I didn't care who any of them were. I knew that Jason Statham and the kid were going to be fine. I think what annoyed me as well was, like, the bad guys weren't the fish. I thought that the fish was the bad guy.
They've done a classic thing of, like... Now, what is the thing where they turn up? Like, it's Terminator 2. They've done a classic thing of like, we're going to make, because you loved the villain so much, we're going to now make him the hero. And that's what they kind of did with the Megs. And I just don't think there was enough Megs.
That was my thing. I was like, where are really? The big sharks? Why is this all like espionage? Where are the sharks?
I do feel like Act 3 was better than Act 1 and 2. But your mileage will definitely vary if you like action or not. Because if you don't like action, it's like...
And to be honest, by the time Act 3 got around, I was so bored. I was like, oh...
Again, a long film.
Yeah, like, I thought it was more interesting when they were all trapped down in the trench. And then it kept making this really big deal about how there was no way they could ever get there. That it was a suicide mission. They all fucking made it. One guy got eaten, I think. But, like, it kept telling me that the stakes were really high and this was, like, a death mission and they were trapped under the water and there was no way they'd survive and all that. And they were just toddling along, just having a little walk.
Yeah. I think that's definitely a good point with show, don't tell. And also just not playing, not really taking any risks, not really... It's just... We're going to tell you so that you think they're not really trusting the audience. They're just like, we need to get from A to B. We want you to feel like this. So the character is going to say this. And then this character who you don't remember the name of is going to die.
Yeah. And that's what it felt like. I didn't know any of their names. I didn't know any of their personalities. It's funny, actually, we recorded this after Indiana Jones and I couldn't remember why, like, I didn't remember how much I disliked this. I watched Indiana Jones straight after this, so I feel like I don't remember how much I didn't like this because I enjoyed Indiana Jones.
It's a good comparison, though, right? Because you haven't seen any of the films before either.
Yeah.
But you said in the Indiana Jones episode that you enjoyed it as a standalone film, and I like that, and you're able to share that perspective on these.
I think with the thing Indiana Jones, I knew who all the characters were. I knew what their purpose was. I knew that Mad Mikkelsen was the evil bad guy and he wanted to do this, and he had the evil henchmen and they wanted to do that. And you knew that Phoebe Waller-Bridge was trying to get herself out of a situation but had morals, so she was trying to have it all, you know, get away with all the bad stuff but then also not hurt anyone and stuff like that. Whereas in this, I was like, are they studying the fish because they like the fish or they don't like the fish? You know, the fish bad or the fish good? And is the Asian billionaire man who's the brother-in-law good or is he secretly evil or is he just stupid? And why are so many of these people that work for this incredibly insane science firm so stupid? Surely they would have to pass so many tests and have so many degrees to get a job in an institute like this, but they all seem really stupid. And I was just a bit
I think it's a good point. The character motivations just aren't clear at all.
No.
There's no reason. They're not real people.
No.
They are characters on a page where they need to be here and then they need to be here, so this happens. And I think the most egregious example of that is the woman that turns out to be
a mole
on the inside, not a mole, like a, you know, a double agent.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know why she does it other than the paycheck.
Yeah.
And I believe she might have been a character in the first one. So I can't remember though. And if she was, that's even worse because it's like where's the reason? What's the motivation? What's the truth? What's the character truth? There isn't any. It's just a means to an end.
Yeah. Do you know who did that kind of role perfectly that it didn't turn out to be a villain and would have been much better? Jake Johnson in Jurassic World. He was a background character in that film. He was just in the control center.
He stole the show.
But he stole the show. You knew what him and Lauren Lapkus were after. You knew their motivations, and all they were doing was sitting at a desk with some computers. Whereas in this...
You just knew them as people.
Yeah. Whereas in this, I was like... When it was like, oh, shocking, she's the bad guy, I was like, was she important before that? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's It definitely, because I didn't, if I'd seen the film before, I'd already, and it was this year or whenever I'd watched it, I did try and review it. And obviously I would have rated it. Oh no, she wasn't in the first film.
Oh, well, there you go.
But in some ways, that's even more confusing.
It's just a woman. It's just a woman.
Because then it's just like, okay, someone that we didn't know turns out to not be a good guy, all right. We can't feel what the characters are feeling because you've not allowed us to do that. What I was going to say is all of the ones that I'm watching new that I knew we were going to be talking about, I didn't rate and review because I was like, well, we're going to review on podcast and that reviewing helps me rate it. So I'm just trying to think now what it would be because I was falling asleep at the beginning and in the middle, to be honest, but the third act kind of woke me up a little bit, but overall it was too long. And I think I did probably prefer the first one, even though I can't remember it. So I probably give it a 3 because there are parts that, so 3 for me is there are parts that I liked and it's okay. Whereas you go down to 2.5 and it's a completely indifferent kind of thing. So I do think I would give it a 3. What is it nominated for again? Worst film? I don't think that's fair.
No, it's a film, yeah, picture, actor, director.
I think direction, yeah.
Yeah. I'd go worst picture, but I think that is the fault of the screenplay and the director.
So I think it should go into sequel.
Mm.
Because I don't think it's a standout as a bad film on its own. Mm. I do feel like it's a step down from
the previous.
Before, even though that wasn't necessarily a great film. even then, I probably wouldn't even put it in there. It was fine. It was fine. I don't think it's great, but I don't think it's the worst by any means.
I mean, out of the 11 I've watched, it's bottom 3 for me, but I still enjoyed it more than I enjoyed Magic Mike's Last Dance, which is not nominated for Worst Picture. So, you know.
This is it. And I think because we've spoken about quite a few now, it's like, okay, no, I don't really see them.
Yeah.
See that in that category. But maybe on the outskirts, maybe in the long list.
I don't mind this being in Worst Picture because I gave it 1.5 stars. I thought it was a bad film.
I think that's fine. I think it's because there was enough there to keep me entertained. It was okay. And I like Jason Statham and I like the third act. The director thing is what I can't wrap my head around. And I think it's because there's always background to this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. That's why there's a whole sequel category because you're judging it as a sequel.
Yeah.
So I think with the direction, they're not necessarily judging it on the direction of the film alone. They're judging it on the direction knowing it's Ben Wheatley.
Yeah.
I know, but to your point, it's not great either.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if they would even have made a point of it had it been some unknown.
I don't know.
But correct me if I'm wrong, because you don't have the context of that. So
I don't think Ben Wheatley is well known enough for people to purposely go against him. I think in
for
like
films, though, people who are in this voting community would have known who he was.
Do you think so? Like the American Razzie voters would know who a little indie British director is.
His films had like Brie Larson in.
True. Well,
one of them, Free Fire.
Yeah.
So I don't know, like potentially not. But that's my theory.
It's a badly directed film anyway.
But I guess I just don't expect more from it. That's the thing.
Oh, I would expect it to be at least entertaining or have some sort of tension.
Yeah, I found bits entertaining.
But then you enjoyed it more than I did, so.
Yeah. I think it's just so middle of the road, it's hard for me to say. I think that's the thing. I think with director, I can't separate the context. So I'm like, oh, I do think it's because of that. And that also immerses my view of it as well.
Yeah.
Because then I go, oh, I wonder if I hadn't have known who it was.
Yeah.
Whether I would have thought that. And you're right. It's probably not the same for the Americans. They probably don't know who he is. But I'm like, I don't know how I would feel because I can't separate that context. Mm-hmm. The thing to point out about that, which we've touched on, is it is taking it out of the water and it feeling like a bit of like a one of those Marvel shows, like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, I like and Agents, I love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. In the end. Yeah, I really enjoyed watching that.
I do like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but it's an ABC network shot thing, is what I'm trying to get at.
And that very much felt like it. Jason Statham. I'm not a Statham fan, but actually I don't think he deserves this award. I feel like he was fine. I felt like he was doing more than most of the rest of them were. And I felt like he was doing what he had to do with the script and what he was asked to do. I felt a very bog standard action guy, but I felt like he was trying to put a bit of humour into it, trying to put a bit of heart into it. Yeah. And like, I don't expect more from him. So I'm surprised that people would say this was the worst acting performance of the year.
That's a good point.
Like, what are you looking for? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. I think out of all of the action movie stars, if we think about like The Rock and Vin Diesel, and like, I know they're both Fast and Furious, but I feel like Jason Statham does have a bit of, he has screen charisma, whether you like him or not. I do think he can hold that. And I do think he has a bit of fun with them.
Yeah.
And yes, he is pretty much Jason Statham of every character, so it can only go so far. But I do believe him to be that character in the scenario. Like, I don't think it's like a blow out of the water. Like, I love that performance, but it's I'm watching Jason Statham. I know I'm watching Jason Statham, but I'm watching Jason. It's like I said about Harrison Ford as I'm watching Jason Statham as this character, because I've also been watching The Expendables in preparation for Expendable 4. X4-ndables. and he is him in that, but I can see the difference. There's no difference, but within the he works within the context. It's not so bad that you're just like, you can notice it, I don't think.
I was looking at like who else was nominated in that category, and Vin Diesel is nominated for Fast X, and they're very similar roles. It's a man up against it, trying to save the day because of X, Y, or Z, while also protecting their child who has unwittingly got caught up in it. You feel in this that Jason Statham loves that little girl and cares about that little girl and is frustrated at her for sneaking on the mission and has morals and has values and has his lines. And like the scene where he says goodbye to her and she promise she'll come back, there was a little bit of heart in that. Whereas in Fast X, I didn't feel like Vin Diesel would ever met that child.
Well, he hadn't up until a certain point.
true, in the films.
But no, that's exactly it. I think when you compare it to what else we've got, and I think that's such a good point, like for like, it's a pretty, you know, pretty like, it is a pretty like for like comparison. Yeah. So, yeah, what do you want?
Okay, so I'm saying yay for worst film. Well, not yay, but fine for worst film, fine for worst director. Dare I say it, leave Jason Statham alone. You're saying it's a fish film.
it's a big fish film with not enough big fishes in it. It's fine. It's so middle of the road that I just don't feel strongly either way. I kind of had fun with it.
Fair enough.
That's it.
There you have it.
Thanks for tuning in, everyone, and we hope you can join us for another mini episode as we tackle another Razzie nominated film on our road to Razzies 2024.